Now, last day, we discussed on the last verse of the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Now today, we shall begin the fourth chapter. Evam buddhi param buddhya samsubhyatmana atmana jahi satram mahavaho tamarupam durasadam. We have discussed this point that our material bondage is due to hunger and lust for dominating over the resources of man. We are, in a sense, we are pure soul, but circumstances, we are now fallen in this material bondage, and therefore we are undergoing a threefold misery of material existence. And the whole Bhagavad Gita scheme is how to get out of this material entanglement and be situated in your real spiritual life of bliss, knowledge, and eternal life. That is the whole scheme of Bhagavad Gita. Now, the first chapter, I'm just making a summary of the three chapters which we have already finished. Now, today we are going to begin the fourth chapter. The first chapter, the situation is created just like we are ordinarily entangled in family affairs. The bondage of accepting this material body as myself and the extension of bodily relation is accepted as my kinsman, and the land in which the body is got, that land is supposed to be worshipable. These are analytical study of our material existence. The path of buddhi punati siddhati ke sabit kalatradisu bhoma ijyadhi. Bhoma ijyadhi. We are taking up the land as worshipable, the land of birth, which is, I mean to say, extended in the form of nationality. This is a material bondage. The sattva buddhi punate vibhagvat gives us direction that a person who has accepted this material body, which is composed of three elements means earth, water and fire, which is in Ayurvedic language it is called tapa, pitta, vayu. Now, one who has accepted this material body as his self, and one who has accepted the extension of this material body. Extension of this material body means the byproduct, the children and the wife with whom we have got this connection with this material body, and the relatives. To go on extending. in that way. So, jasthāta-buddhi-kunate-sudhāta-te sabhik-talatnādi-su bhoma-idjadhi. Bhoma means the land. Idjadhi. Idjadhi means worshipping. Jasthāta-buddhi-kunate-sudhāta-te sabhik-talatnādi-su bhoma-idjadhi. Jasthāta-buddhi-sanile. Of course, in your country, there is no holy land of pilgrimage. In India, there are many holy lands of pilgrimage, just like Prayag, Vrindavan, Gaya. You have also got in what about Jordan? A Christian people, they go and they take their bus. Similarly, in India, the river Ganges and the Jamuna, Godavari, Kaveri, there are many rivers. So, Dattitra Buddhi Salire. Now, somebody goes to holy land and takes bath only and comes there. Dattitra Salire. Salire means water. One who has accepted the holy land of pilgrimage, the water. Dattitra Buddhi Salire. Natat janesu avidyesu. But they have no interest with persons who are actually experienced in spiritual consciousness of life. In the holy land, especially in India, you will find there are many sages and saints. They are living there and cultivating spiritual knowledge. And one should go there if they are at all interested to go to holy land. They should find out such men and where they are sitting, what they are doing, and take advantage of it. But people do not do that. They go there, take bath in the water, purchase some and play things for their children and clothing, and come back, and they think that we have done a great thing, trouble. In the holy land. The Bhagavad says that these men who have accepted this material body as self and the byproducts of this body as his own kinsmen and the water in the holy land as the end of pilgrimage, but do not take concern with Saiva Gokhara. Such persons are designated as Gokhara. Go means cow and Kara means ass. So such people have been described as Gokhara. That means without any intelligence. Without any intelligence. So, if such a position, and we say, Arjuna, this and we say, manifested, he manifested himself as one of us. Otherwise, there was no possibility of speaking Bhagavad Gita. Although, Arjuna, you can take your seat somewhere. So, Arjuna, although he is a personal devotee of Krishna, a personal friend of Krishna, he, just like we are trying to have Krishna consciousness, just to make our life perfect. Now, the person who is not only Krishna conscious, but a constant associate. But such a person, Arjuna, he was in bewilderment whether I shall fight with my kinsmen, my brothers and my nephews, my brother-in-law, my father-in-law, my grandfather, My other friends saw me wrong because it was a family work. So he was afraid that I cannot fight. I cannot fight. It is quite natural. Suppose if you are called for fighting with your enemies, you are ready. But if somebody says that you fight with your sons and daughters and wife and your friends, oh, you will hesitate. And that is quite nice. So Arjuna was placed in such a position that I have to fight with my village. So he was perplexed. And there was some argument we have already discussed. And Krishna says that when the question of fighting is there, it doesn't matter who are they, the opposite party. You are a Kshatriya, you are a fighting man. It is your duty to fight. You should not hesitate. But Arjuna could not be satisfied with such argument. Arjuna could not be satisfied with such argument. He declined to fight. And then he surrendered to Krishna. Krishna, we are now talking as friends. Now, I am serious about learning from you, because Arjuna knew it, but let you rest, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. So, whatever instruction I will have from Krishna, that will be perfect. We have several times discussed in this meeting that an ordinary being, just like we are subjected to four principles of imperfectness. But incarnation of God or a real representative of God, they are above these four principles of imperfectness. That is the way of why we are giving so much praise from the Bhagavad Gita. There are many books available in the market, full of good instruction, knowledge, but why we are giving so much stress on the Bhagavad Gita? Because it is spoken by a personality who is above all imperfections. What are the imperfections? The imperfections are that a conditioned soul, just like we are pure to commit mistakes. There is nobody in the world, in this conditional state, who can boldly say that I have never committed any mistake in my life. Is there anybody? No. We have committed so many mistakes. In a perfect, I shall speak of our country, Mahatma Gandhi, he was supposed to be a very great and the perfect leader of the country. He also committed mistakes, so many. And what to speak of us? So, a conditioned soul is sure to commit mistakes. That is one imperfection. And the next imperfection is to accept something in place of something. Just like we are accepting this body as myself, which I am not. Under this illusion, everyone is under this illusion. Nobody accepts it. This part of the Jeevanapriti Bhakti. When you ask me, Swamiji, what you are, I say I am Indian. What sort of Indian I am? Because my this body is Indian, made in India, got in India. But I am not this body. So this is illusion. So second imperfection. First imperfection, that we must commit mistakes. The second imperfection is accepting something which is not real. This is called illusion. The example of illusion is given generally, just that in darkness, if you find some climbing rope, you are afraid, oh, here is a snake. Actually, that is not a snake. That means accepting the climbing rope as a snake. This is the example of illusion. The third imperfection is that cheating. Everyone thinks himself very clever and he can cheat others. Everyone thinks, oh, I am so clever, oh, I shall do it, oh, I shall cheat it. In every dealing, it is going. The customer, the shopkeeper thinks that I am giving nonsense things, I am making profit, and but the customer thinking, oh, I am getting it very cheap. So this is going. Everyone ordinary dealing. So this is called cheating profit. Now even an animal is fine that they are searching after some food and it is thinking, oh, I am cheating my master and cheating this. That means in the conditional life, this cheating propensity is there. And the fourth imperfection is that our senses are blunt. We acquire knowledge by our senses. Just like we acquire knowledge by seeing. Everyone is there. Can you show me God? Oh. Yes. But then the answer is, can you see God? How you can see God? We have no eyes to see God. Even I show you God, you cannot see. Our senses are so imperfect. Just like, take for example the eye. The eye, it is seeing under certain conditions. As soon as you put up this light, you cannot see. So what is the use of having this eye? So therefore, we have got our imperfect senses, we have got cheating propensity, we are prone to commit mistakes, and we accept illusory things. These four principles of imperfection is in the conditioned soul. But who is liberated soul? Who is God? They are not under this condition. Therefore, Krishna is considered to be the highest perfectional personality. And Arjuna selected him as the spiritual master. Shishya Sriham Sadhanam Prapannam. My dear Krishna, we are talking on the platform of friendship that will not make a solution. Because friendly talk, sometimes they are not taken serious. Friendly talk. But when there is talk between the spiritual master and disciple, there is some discipline and there is some gravity. So Arjuna created that gravity and discipline. He accepted Krishna as the spiritual master. And as soon as Arjuna accepted Krishna as the spiritual master, so as master, he at once chastised him in these words. Asachyamanitokastam prajnavadansubhāsade gatāsum avatākūsa nāmusu vichantu pandita. My dear Arjuna, you are posing yourself as a very great learned man. But I see that you are fool number one. You are fool number one. Why? And because you are lamenting for things which are not to be lamented. This was the first answer of Krishna. So, a person like Arjuna, he was not an ordinary person. He still, in the eye of the perfect personality, he happened to be a fool. So this material knowledge, if anyone is very proud of his material knowledge, just like Sanatana Goswami, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, when he approached Lord Chaitanya, he just inquired from him, "My dear sir, people address me that I am a very great learned man, but I am such a learned man that I do not know where from I have come and where I have to go. I am such a learned man. That means I am fool number one. I have come to this world and I am staying here for 50 years or 80 years or almost 100 years. Then after finishing this period of my life, where I am going? These two things I do not know. I do not know where from I have come and where I have to go. Then what sort of learned man I am? Although I am posing myself a very learned man, I do not know my past, I do not know my future. I am concerned with this present situation, that. Therefore, Krishna advised Arjuna that Avinashi Tatavidhi Jena Sarva Nidam Tatam. Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, you have so long, you have spoken, you have argued with me in so many ways, but such argument is not to be entertained in learned circles. And just try to be a learned man. And what is that? The Avinash is the Jena Sarva Nidam Tatam. You just try to understand the, in your body there is something. He spread all over the body, all over your body. And that is ether. And what is that thing which is spread all over your body? That is your consciousness. Your consciousness. Just like this electric bulb is here, and the light of the electric bulb is diffused all over the it's a room. You can see. Similarly, the spirit soul is within your heart. It is situated there, but it is so powerful that its light is spread all over the body, so that wherever you pinch, you feel by consciousness, "Oh, I am feeling some pain." That consciousness. And as soon as that consciousness is gone from this body, if your head is stuck up or your leg is stuck up by chakra, you don't feel it. So this instruction was first given to Arjuna. That Arjuna, you are arguing with me just like a very learned scholar, that you are fool number one, and you just try to understand this. First of all. But that thing, which is spread all over, Avinashi Sarvidhi, Jena Sarvamidam Satam. They are Paramida. Paramida means the whole body, Ida. But your consciousness is not spread in other's body. You must know it. If you say that my consciousness is spread all over the universe, that is also another mystery. Your consciousness is limited within your body. Just like my consciousness is limited within my body. Your consciousness is limited within your body. And everyone, we are all living entities, and we are everyone conscious, but our consciousness is limited. We should not falsely claim that I am the Supreme Consciousness. That is another mistake. I am not the Supreme Consciousness. Supreme Consciousness means that just like with my consciousness I can feel what is happening in my body, but with my consciousness I cannot feel what is going on in your body. Similarly, you also cannot feel what is going on in my body. But the Supreme Consciousness is that which can know what is going on in your body, which is going on in my body, which is going on universally, everyone's body is in know. That is Supreme Consciousness. Supreme Consciousness, we have distinguished in this way that in the battlefield, we first of all made this clear that my dear Arjuna, yourself, myself, and all these people who have assembled before us for fighting, all of them as living entities, they existed, and they exist in a present, and they continue to exist. They will continue to exist. That means the soul is eternal. Then he has described the nature of the soul and the nature of the body very nicely and has concluded that soul is eternal, but the body is not eternal. Antavattu means the heart. Nittasthukta sarivina. Sarivina means one who possesses the body. This thing we have discussed in the second chapter. And in the third chapter, Arjuna is advised to adopt the means of karma yoga for spiritual emancipation. We have to act on the platform of consciousness. And because we are now engaged in material engagement, it is not possible for us to at once get rid of this material consciousness, but we have gradually to get out of it, and that is called karma yoga. Karma yoga means you have to adopt this process of karma yoga in such a way that even within your material body, you shall be able to act on spiritual platform consciousness. That we have already done. And the last, sloka, and the third chapter, that he says, by intelligence, we have to conquer over the formidable enemy which has captured the three strategic positions. That means the senses and the mind and intellect. In three strategic positions, the formidable enemy, that means ignorance, that I am trying to lord it over the material nature. This is ignorance. Because I cannot lord it over the material nature. It is impossible. I am not so powerful that I can become the master of the material nature. The whole world's activity is going on under this impression that we shall be able to conquer over the material nature. The modern scientific advancement of knowledge is aiming in that way. But it is not possible. Because we are not actually the master of the material nature. That is an ignorance. That is an ignorance. We are trying to enjoy the material resources to our best. But that is not possible. That is called illusion. So this has been explained by Krishna to Arjuna that this is your, this sense of mastering over, lording over the material nature. Kama. Kama means to enjoy. Kama means enjoy. That is your formidable enemy, and that formidable enemy is sitting in three places. On your mind, on your intelligence, on your senses. Now, you have to deal with them very carefully. Oh, that you have to replace the enemy with Krishna consciousness. You have to replace simply, you have to replace. That's like, if you have got a glass of water, now, if you want to fill up this glass with milk, then you have to throw the water and take milk. Similarly, if your mind is occupied by the lust of enjoying the material world, if you reflect Krishna on your mind, then you will find that the enemy is occupying your strategic position of mind, it will be difficult. But so far, we have discussed in the after third chapter. And today, we shall begin in the fourth chapter, and what Lord says to Arjuna. Now, see Bhagavan Vasa, the Lord says, Idam jivasate yogam proktavan ahamabhyam jivasthan manave praha manurikha kavi bravi. This is very important. The fourth chapter, the Lord says that in the long ago, first of all, I described this karma yoga to Vivasan. Vivasan means Surya, the sun god. Sun god. Now, according to our calculation, the sun is a planet which is too hot, and nobody can go there. And actually, so far as this present body is concerned, it is not possible to and to follow it in the sunshine from a distance of 93 or 100 million from 90, I do not know exactly. It is far distance. But actually, from the description of Vedic literature, we can understand that sun planet is just like a planet like this, but it is made of fire. It is made of fire. Just like this planet is predominated by earth only. Similarly, there are varieties of planets in the universe. Some planet is predominated by air, some planet is predominated by water, some planet is predominated by fire. So, similarly, the sun planet is predominated by fire. There are living entities also. And there is one principal living entity who is called the sun god, Surya Narayana. In the language of the Bhagavad Gita, he is called Yuvasthana. in the language of Bhagavad Gita. Just like in every planet there you see a man, just like in your country, the chief man is President Johnson. Similarly, in every planet there is a chief man. Formerly in this planet also, there was one king. We can get from Mahabharata history that 5,000 years before, there was only one king of this planet, one class and one regiment. We get this information from Mahabharata. Gradually, the world has divided into many states, and you can see hundreds of clans in the United States nation. Similarly, the example is similarly that in the sun planet there is a chief and a person. He is called Vibhushan. He is called Vibhushan. So Lord Krishna says that these signs of Karma Yoga, what I am just trying to explain to you, it is not a new thing, but first I spoke this Karma Yoga to Vibhushan. Vibhushan means the sun god. And then he says that Vibhushan Manavitraha, and Vibhushan means the sun god, again repeated the same thing to his son, who is called Manu. Vibhushan Manavitraha, Manu Ikhadavitravi. And again, Manu, he told to his disciple, whose name is Ikhadu. Maharaj Ikhadu, who was a great king, he was the forefather of Ramchandra. You have heard the name of Lord Ramchandra. He was the forefather, Ikhadu. The idea is that this process of Bhagavad Gita is not an ordinary thing. If you have to learn Bhagavad Gita, and if you have to take profit out of it, then there is a process. There is a process to understand Bhagavad Gita. And that process is described here. You have to take it very seriously. Just like the first Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Lord Krishna to Sangha. It is not that Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita for the first time to Arjuna only. No. It was spoken long, long ago. Long, long ago. If you make an estimate of the time, then that estimation also you can make from Vedic literature. That estimation is, I made an estimation, it is about 400 million of years before it was spoken. So far as we get the information of Bhagavad Gita from Mahabharata, we understand that this Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna about 5,000 years before. But we have to calculate in the fourth chapter that the Lord says that I spoke to the sun god, and sun god spoke it to Manu, and Manu spoke to Ikhadu. And in the next verse he says, evam parampara prapam imam rajasayo vidu. So this confidence and knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was received in such disciplic succession. Disciplic succession. Just like the Lord Krishna says to the sun god, and the sun god said to Manu, and Manu said to Ikhadu, and he summarizes that evam parampara prapam. In such disciplic succession, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was received. Sakale neha mahata yoganasya parantapaha. Now he says that this yoga, फिर भगवत गीता ही का उपाय योग, कर्म योग, ज्ञान योग, भक्ति योग, इन भगवत गीता डिफाइन योग, सो द होल बुक इज कॉल्ड योग। हियर ऑल्सो इट इज स्टेटेड सकाले सकाले न यह महता योग नष्ट परम तप। हियर ऑफ दोस यू आर द ग्रेट हीरो दैट भगवत गीता इंस्ट्रक्ट है ही कैन इम्पार्टेड टू द सन गॉड was coming by the path of succession, now it is lost. Now, we have to note down this point. Why it is lost? Why it is lost? Do you think that there was no learned man during that time, during Krishna's time? Oh, there are many learned sages. Not only one, two, there are dozens of learned sages, but still the Lord says, Krishna says, that the that knowledge which has exactly imparted to Son God is now lost. How it is lost? There are many scholars. And he still has his loss. The loss means that the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is lost. Because scholars, they can interpret in their own way about Bhagavad Gita. But that is not Bhagavad Gita. That is not Bhagavad Gita. That is the pattern which Krishna wants to say. So any student of Bhagavad Gita must know it. That Bhagavad Gita commented by a person, he may be very scholar in the material sense, but that scholarship will not help to comment on the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita, to understand Bhagavad Gita, we have to accept this disciple succession principle as a Lord Krishna takes to Arjuna. But it is coming down by disciple succession. We have to take that spirit. And without taking that spirit, simply by our erudite scholarship, if we want to understand Bhagavad Gita, that is a misunderstanding. That is the pattern he has said. Now he also again, here the subject matter. Sarivayo maya tejya yoga prakta pirasana. So, yoga, I am just trying to speak to you about that old system of Bhagavad Gita, yoga. Old system of yoga which I first spoke to Sangha. Why? Why you are speaking to me? Because then you say that the spirit of Bhagavad Gita is lost. And you are, why you have selected me to speak the Bhagavad Gita? There are many learned men, there is Vasudeva, there is Vasishtha, there is other many sages, there existed. I am an ordinary military man, I am a family man. I am not simply fighting. So why you are anxious to speak to me about Bhagavad Gita? Why you are anxious to speak to me? I am not a Vedanti. I am ordinary man. So why? That reply is, Bhaktosi. That's it. Bhaktosi me sakhacheti rahasyam jetat uttamam. Oh, my dear Arjuna, I am just trying to speak to you, Bhagavad Gita, because you have got an exceptional qualification which others haven't got. And what is that exceptional qualification? Here it is clearly mentioned, Bhaktosi. Bhaktosi. Bhaktosi means you are my devotee. you know that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you have surrendered yourself unto me, accepted me myself as the spiritual master. You know, you are my devotee. So now, here we have to understand that unless one is devotee of Lord Krishna, it is not possible for him to understand what is Bhagavad Gita. It is not possible. Nobody can understand Bhagavad Gita unless he is a devotee of Lord Krishna. That is the first qualification. It is clearly said here, you cannot go beyond Bhagavad Gita. If you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, you cannot take help of other methods. You have to take the help as it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So he clearly says that Bhaktu, you are not only my friend, there are many friends. I can find many friends, but you are not only my friend, but you are a great devotee. Therefore, you can understand what is the real sense of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, I am speaking to you. So, if anyone wants to understand Bhagavad Gita, then just like the disciples' expectation was coming down from Vivasar, the principal man in the sun, the sun god, and the sun god taught the Bhagavad Gita, the mystery of Bhagavad Gita to his son Manu, and Manu taught the history of Bhagavad Gita to Ikhatu, and Ikhatu taught the history of Bhagavad Gita to his disciple or son like that. But now, in course of time, it is now lost. Now, I am again establishing that this has the succession through you. So anyone who has to understand Bhagavad Gita, he has to understand as Arjuna understood it. If you try to understand in a different way, if you want to give a different interpretation of Bhagavad Gita, that may be a manifestation of your scholarship, but that is not Bhagavad Gita. By your scholarship, you can manufacture some idea, just like Mahatma Gandhi. He also wrote an interpretation of Bhagavad Gita, and he wanted to prove that from Bhagavad Gita, non-violence. How you can prove non-violence from Bhagavad Gita? The theme of Bhagavad Gita is that Arjuna declined to fight, and Lord Krishna just trying to induce him that you must fight. You must fight. Ultimately, he says that the program is already settled by me. These people who have come here, they will never return. That they seem to die. It is my program. Now, if you like, he can take the credit that you have conquered them. Last of all, he said like that. But when the program is there, the Bhagavad Gita clearly says that in this case fighting is necessary, how can you prove that non-violence is taught in Bhagavad Gita? That is a different interpretation. You cannot interpret a thing which is whose thing is different. But the author of the Bhagavad Gita, the author of the Bhagavad Gita is saying that I'm very frankly that the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is now lost. So I am just trying to convince you. So you try to understand. The purpose of Bhagavad Gita is lost because they have been interpreted in a different way. So as soon as Bhagavad Gita is interpreted in the way of a particular scholar, a particular man, oh, then the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is lost. Now, you find in the 10th chapter how Arjuna understood Bhagavad Gita. So you have to follow the footprints. The whole thing is, several times repeated this thing to you, that Mahajana Jena Tatastha Pantha, Mahajana Tatastha Nihitam Guhaya, Mahajena Tatastha Pantha, Tattva Pratishtha Sutayo Vivinya. It is said that you cannot reach to the right conclusion of the Vedic literature simply by your argument, by your force of argument or logic. That is not possible. Tattva Pratishtha. There are many things which do not come in our arguments, in our sense of logic. So, Tattva Pratishtha. You cannot understand the Supreme Truth simply by argument. Tattva Pratishtha Sutayo Vibhinna. And there are so far scriptures are concerned. You will find different scriptures describing a different place. So that also he revealed. Rāso manityasya matanna hunyam, and there are different philosophers who are always contradicted. One philosopher is deviating, is not in agreement with another philosopher. He has got a different theory. Another has got different theory. So philosophers also cannot give you the real truth. So, neither you can understand the real truth simply by going through different scriptures, nor you can understand the real truth simply by your logical force or argument. So, dharma sutatman hitam guhaya, the mystery of absolute truth is very confidential, very confident. Then how I can understand the Mahajana Jena Tatastha Pantha? If you follow the Mahajana, the authority, then you can understand. Therefore, this authority, the disciplic succession, in India, there are disciplic succession. So far we are concerned, we are following the disciplic succession. Just like Ramanuja Sarja and the Madhya Sarja and Nimbarka Vishnu Swami. So we try to understand the Vedic literature and from our sitting and spiritual master. That is the problem. Just like Arjuna is trying to understand from Bhagavad Gita and from Krishna. Similarly, if we want to understand Bhagavad Gita, then we have to understand it from Arjuna, not from any other person. If you have got any knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, you have to see how does it tally with the understanding of Arjuna. That we find in the 10th chapter. If you find that you have understood in the same way as Arjuna understood it, Bhagavad Gita, then your understanding of Bhagavad Gita is right. Otherwise, if you have understood in a different way, which is not corroborated by the understanding of Arjuna, then your understanding of Bhagavad Gita is different from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. This should be the criterion of your strength. So, if we actually want to derive some benefit out of the Bhagavad Gita, then we have to follow these principles. Without following some principles, without following some regulative rules and regulations, how can you understand Bhagavad Gita? It is not not an ordinary book of knowledge that you can purchase from the market and read it and consult dictionaries and you can understand. No, it is not so. It is not so. Otherwise, Krishna would not have told to Arjuna, Maharaj is lost. Hey, Bhagavad Gita is not lost. I am therefore speaking to you. Why? Because you are my devotee. So one has to become a devotee like Arjuna and take instruction from Arjuna. And he must be ready to understand Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna understood. Then the spirit of Bhagavad Gita can be understood. Otherwise, it is none at all. So far, this, if there is any question.
Why did he not know this?
Does he know this, that he is not the disciple of succession? Why did he make translation? He wanted to show his scholarship, that's all. The scholarship is not only the asset by which he can understand Bhagavad Gita. He may be a great scholar, that's all right. But that does not mean that you know the techniques. Let us go into it. Will you sit? Will you come here?
No,
I don't. We can sit down, but I have to talk with you after school.
Yes, it's
not a
thing. You want to make it now?
Yes.
This scholar would write a commentary on the Gita. If it says in the Gita that you must belong to the disciples' succession in order to be able to understand it.
Yes, that the thinking is that because Gita is a very reputed literature, and Dr. Ramakrishna, he was a reputed scholar. So he thought that I can, at the present moment, the things are gained that everyone can give his own interpretation. That is the modern tendency, that everyone can give his own interpretation in any literature. So, it is a propensity is also in Dr. Ramakrishna and Gandhi and many other persons also. They are renowned persons of the world. And they have translated and they have given their own opinion. But actually, so far Bhagavad Gita is concerned, it is to be understood in the process as recommended by Krishna. That is clear here. Otherwise, Krishna would not have said that is lost. 5,000 years before, there were many scholars. But it still Krishna says that the Bhagavad Gita is the first part of Bhagavad Gita is now lost. Why it is lost? That means simply scholarship will not do. One has to, I'll give you one practical example. How things are misinterpreted. Now, in India, there was a great dramatist. He was known as Mr. D.L. Rao. He wrote one book which is called Shah Jahan. But this Shah Jahan, the theme of this book is that Aurangzeb, the son of Shah Jahan, he was the second son of Shah Jahan, Emperor Shah Jahan, and he made a tree. He killed his elder brother, he killed his younger brother, and he arrested his own father in the fort, and he manipulated things in such a way, politician, and he became the king, emperor. King emperor. Now, the whole activities of that book is the Aurangzeb activity. So one friend of the author, D.L. Rao, he inquired from D.L. Rao, Mr. Rao, you have written this book, and this book is full of the activities of out of there. Now, why we have and made the hero Shahjahan? Shahjahan is on the background. The old man is arrested in the port of Agra and he is sitting there. Why have made the Agra? And just see the purpose of the author. But the author replies, yes, I purposely named this book Shahjahan because actually the hero is Shahjahan. The friend inquired why, and before the whole activity was being done by Aurangzeb, but the effect was being enjoyed and suffered by students. Shahjahan was the father. He could not tolerate that the eldest son was killed, the youngest son was killed, and he was arrested. This is a political maneuver by Aurangzeb. But actually, the hero, the sufferer, was the Shahjahan, Emperor Shahjahan. Now, just see, the mind of the author was disclosed by the author. Nobody could interpret what was the intention. Similarly, the intention of the Bhagavad Gita is known by Krishna, the author. So we have to understand the intention of the author. We cannot exact any meaning by our own scholarship, which is different from the intention of the author. So anyone who is not in the disciple succession, he cannot understand the intention of Krishna, why this Bhagavad Gita, why this yoga was important. He can, but you are a good scholar, you can make something just like president, Mr. Goldsmith, he knows that a smart lawyer by interpretation, they can do so many things. That is another thing. In Calcutta, when I was in Calcutta, there was a rent tax passed by the government and some experts, a lawyer, changed the whole thing by his interpretation. The government had to reenact, you see, because the purpose was foiled by the interpretation of the lawyer. You see, so we are not out of foiling the purpose of Krishna for his Bhagavad Gita itself. These persons, these unauthorized persons, they are practically trying to foil the purpose of Krishna. That's what that is unauthorized. All right, Mr. Goldsmith, you can ask me anything. You can take the address of your presence here. Yes. Bob, we can give you an address.